Welcome to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast, where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord.
Kingdom of heaven is still forcefully advancing throughout the book of Acts, and I contend it's still forcefully moving right now through believers who truly believe the word of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." How many believe the Holy Spirit can direct you in being a soul winner and show you who to talk to and where they are, where the people are that will listen to you? Verse 27, so he started out. He didn't ask any questions. He just took off. The Holy Spirit said, go, and he went. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. I'm just showing you how the kingdom of God continued to advance even after Jesus Christ was back at the right hand of the Father. He's anointing people to be soul winners. He's anointing people to operate in the wisdom of God so that no one can even contradict them. Demons are being cast out. Miracles are still being worked all over the place. What do you call that? It's the works of the devil being destroyed in the lives of people. That's what it is. And that's still what he wants to do. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. God had the whole thing planned. The man of God just needed to hear and obey the voice of God. Do you believe God to speak to you and direct you all day long? And when you really sense you need to do something, do it. Do you, when Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Then, and he said, no. And Philip explained it to him. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip, now this was a mighty man in his country. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Most of these scriptures I'm using today is from the NIV. I make sure it lines up with the King James and with the Greek and the Hebrew, but it's one of the easiest to understand. And in some of these stories, it's just easier to read them, and it's easier to understand out of the NIV. God was still working miracles to advance his kingdom, not just through the 12 apostles, but in this case, through a deacon named Philip. Do not say the Lord cannot use me to be a soul winner, because if you'll listen to him, he will use every one of us. If we'll listen to him. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, I'm just showing you how God continued to work miracles. And after the Lord got back at the right hand of the Father, it seems that the miracles even picked up. He says, he that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do, and greater works than these shall he do. And then it says, because I'm going back to my Father. And so now he's at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is helping us do his work. We just need to be sure we have a prayer time, devotion time every day before we go out that door. Be sure we're hearing from God and that we're in line with the Holy Spirit and he's directing our steps. That's why prayer is so important. It's your source of communication with the guy that has all wisdom, all knowledge, and all power, and all the cattle and all the gold. Verse 4, Cornelius started, and the angel just showed up. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He said. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring Peter back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. And so the angel did not have permission to preach the gospel. Angels do not have permission to preach the gospel. That's reserved for us as our privilege. And we do not need to be afraid of it, because God will direct us and help us to win our loved ones. We just got to operate in wisdom. You can't do just everything you feel like doing or saying. You got to sense in the Holy, by the Holy Spirit in your heart what to do. And God will lead you and direct you. And somebody said amen. And so the Lord used miracles to bring people to salvation. And so we believe God to use us, that he'll work through us to win people to the Lord. In this case, the angel couldn't preach, but he told him where the preacher was. And you'll see, if I get through with the sermon, you'll see that that while he was working on this end, the Holy Spirit was working on the other end, working with Peter. And there's so many things, you know, we dream of doing. Listen, you're not going to get anything done unless God's working on both ends. And you really can't make God work on either end. So you just have to pray until God shows you what he's doing on both ends. What he's doing over there, that miracle deal you need for work. Sean Golden, he's still a part of this church, even though he's been in Charlotte, North Carolina for quite a while. He is on the men's prayer meeting by Zoom every Saturday morning, praying that God will give me good deals. You see, God works on this end to provide a good deal, and then he works on Sean's end to anoint him to close the deal. He's learned how to do it. Every Saturday morning, pray the Lord give me some good deals. And the Lord's working out. He's a banker. And God has given him good deals, and the Lord's making him and the bank look good. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. There are still prophets today. And God, you know, I don't like being called a prophet, but I'm a seer and a hearer. The Lord does speak things to me. I see things that nobody else seems to see. And it's still just the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to claim to be any great prophet. We all can be seers and hearers and doers up to a degree, no matter what our office is or no office. Yay. And this guy predicted a famine. Well, what's the value of that? Well, like Joseph knew there's going to be a famine in Egypt, and they stored up food. If God gives you a revelation like that, then you need to act accordingly and save up food. Amen. And if God shows you something, you need to pray, obey God, and pray over it. I mean, remember many years ago, Jimmy Swaggart and Marvin Gorman and Jim Baker and all of them got in a big fight. You remember all that mess? Well, God showed me that Jimmy Falwell was going to fall. I'll get it right in a minute. That's not right. Jimmy Swaggart. Y'all praying for me? If you're not going to say amen, at least quietly pray. Jimmy Swaggart is one of the biggest disasters in Christianity. And I knew it was coming. So why would God show you that? I prayed for over a year for that thing. It was the biggest disaster in Christianity. I mean, people come to church, they want to examine the preacher to see what kind of sin he's hiding. You know, it's a difficult time to be a preacher. And finally, I got up one day and I said, look, I have more confidence now in preachers than I ever had in my life. They said, why? Because if God told on Jimmy, he's going to tell on the others. See how smart I am? How many of you think that was me or the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit gave me wisdom. Isn't that just wisdom? Instead of worrying about what all the preachers are doing, hey, if God told on Jimmy and Jim and Marvin, he'll tell on the rest of them. You say, if they're really doing something horrible, like especially some of them were doing. I don't want to get into that. But God showed me that. And he shows me things. He shows me things about people here in the church sometimes. And very often I don't say a word. I just pray. And God answers prayer. Acts 12:21, on the appointed day, Herod, wearing the royal robe, sat on his throne. Y'all better get to praying because I'm just barely halfway through this. And I'm not going to get all the miracles from Acts today. And if it's God's will, I'll pick it up next week. There's a lot of miracles in the book of Acts. And so anyway, here goes. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Verse 23, and we know it's important to be humble. Verse 23, immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten of worms and died. This is actually recorded in the historian Josephus, who lived during that time. But he said Herod saw an owl instead of an angel. What he saw was an angel, and the angel struck him down. What does that tell me? We have evil leaders all over the world, and if we'll pray and seek God, God can take care of those leaders. Without us hating anybody, we just need to pray that God would save them, convert them like he did Saul of Tarsus, or take them out like he did Herod, or any way he wants to. Don't mess with God's people because you're going down. What did Herod do? He murdered James. And then he put Peter in jail and was going to murder him. Peter was Simon the Reed. But after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he became Peter the Rock. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2, now man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. I just want to look at Peter here for a little bit. The guy, the fisherman, had kept his foot in his mouth. He hadn't graduated from any seminary. He was just a fisherman anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he, Peter, helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Because of this miracle, several thousand people heard the gospel preached by Peter. You see, to win the secular humanists, we need miracles. We say, well, they needed miracles back then. My gracious, it's just as bad or worse now as it was in the early church. And we need the miracle prayer of God. If we're ever going to get these Marxists and secular humanists saved, they got to see miracles. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Let me believe that you can have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And Peter knew exactly what Ananias and Sapphira had done without anyone telling. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. The Holy Spirit can reveal things to you, your kids are doing, your neighbors are doing, your people at work are doing. Then Ananias, when Ananias heard this, he fell down dead. And a lot of Christians think lying is no big deal. Ananias didn't think it's a big deal either, but it killed him. And the same for his wife. Same thing happened to Sapphira, his wife. God's miracle power can reveal the truth and bring judgment, and that's what happened right there. And so God wants us to see the miracle power of God in his word and believe him for that same miracle power of God in our lives. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. If the Holy Spirit can anoint a shadow to heal people, he can work through us to heal people through his great anointing. Yes. Amen. Look at the miracles all the way through. And this church has experienced some of the greatest miracles that's ever been in any church ever. And we have seen it and seen it and seen it. Hey, it's time that every one of us really believed it and get out here and get people healed, delivered, and set free so people can really be ready for the second coming of the Lord. We've got a job to do, and the Lord's going to hold us responsible if we don't do it. That's partly what that playground is about. David and others have said, you know, that God will use that to attract families to bring their kids in here. Hey, listen, whatever we can do, we need to be doing. If it's a playground, let's build the thing. And then in Acts 9:33, there he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden, this is Peter again, 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Judah, or in Lydda and Sharon, saw him and turned to the Lord. When people saw this miracle that God used Peter to work, they got saved and came to Jesus Christ. You see, the disciples and believers continued to destroy the works of the devil. That man was paralyzed. That's the work of the devil. And Peter destroyed that work by believing God to heal him, and he did. In Acts 9:36, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas. I just want you to see what this fisherman did. This fisherman. Most people in this room is educated better than Peter. who was always doing good and helping people, this lady Dorcas, Tabitha. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. So they sent for Peter, and he went to her home immediately, where many of her friends were. And in verse 40 it says, Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. You say, well, it just wasn't her time. That's right. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He took her out early, and somehow they discerned it, and Peter raised her from the dead. And around here, if you're a tither, we're not going to let you die. I'm kidding. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. About noon the following day, they were on their journey, and approaching the city, these were Cornelius' men that he was sending to Peter. So I finally got to it, if I got time to read it. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by the four corners. The sheet contained all kinds of unclean animals. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The Lord was showing him that he was going to clean up the Gentiles, which is all of us, and bring them into the church. And so while Cornelius was sending his men, two of his servants and a Roman soldier to meet Peter and talk to Peter, God was talking to Peter, getting him ready. Otherwise, he would not go with the Gentiles anywhere. But after he had this vision, he realized that he should not call any man common or unclean. And so he went with them, and the Gentiles got saved, and here we are today. As far as I know, everybody in this room is Gentiles, so thank God that God worked these miracles.
You've been listening to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast. Click subscribe so you don't miss Dr. Barry Culberson's weekly messages. For more information or to email a comment, head over to KnoxvilleChristianCTR.org. Coming up next week will be part one of Miracles of Acts 2. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a message. The Knoxville Christian Center, where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord.